Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live, and let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Welcome to Sound Pathways, where we explore the power of music, energy, and intention to help you rise into your most aligned life. As we close the year, we turn to the miracle of forgiveness, opening space for clarity, peace, and renewal. And thank you so much for joining us here as we celebrate all that we have been blessed with in the past year, and we move forward with so much hope. And today, we are so fortunate to explore the six steps of forgiveness with Dr. Devon James, diving into willingness, awareness, acceptance, and compassion. We discussed identity, habits, and transforming stress for the new year. This episode invites release, empowerment, and emotional freedom. Please help me give a warm welcome to Dr. Devon. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this discussion. I think it's at the perfect time as we are at the return of the light. Just had our, you know, so it's great to be here to celebrate winter solstice, and we're going into the return of the light, and we're talking about forgiveness, and it couldn't be a better time. I feel like it's so divinely aligned.
Yes, turning a new page.
Yeah.
And writing new songs. Yes. So your journey, it began on the south side of Chicago, and you rose from poverty, and you earned a doctorate in pharmacy and built a 30-year healthcare career, and you earned the Secretary McDonald coin, and you were acting in HBO's The Wire. So what drove you to focus on forgiveness?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I get that question a lot, and it does sound fragmented if you think of all these different parts of a whole, right? And people always say, you know, how do you become an actress when you're a pharmacist, or how do you become a, you know, inspirational speaker, you know, somebody who's focused on spirituality and growth? And for me, they're all in this, they're all part of the same, they're all part of the whole. And forgiveness definitely, for me, in the way that I believe, in the way that I teach, is if you're looking to augment any part of your life, to put it on steroids and go to make a quantum leap in it, you want to check your forgiveness practices, and you want, because forgiveness allows you to release an anchor that anchors you like a ball and chain to what you don't want. And so that you are now no longer tethered to that. You are free and light to move towards what you want and what you desire to create in life. So I always encourage people to look at what you're holding on to, you know, and see where, if that's holding you in a position where you're through with that position, you've done all the learning there, you're ready to move to your next level of greatness, but something keeps you repeating patterns. And a lot of times that is that unforgiveness that we're either holding towards other people or even holding towards ourselves.
Oh, that's beautiful. And the whole idea of gratitude and generosity and letting go of all the lessons that taught us who we aren't, so we can really embrace and become who we really are. And I love how you put so many different parts of your lives together. We're a lot about creativity here. We speak to a lot of artists, and how do you put the pieces together and have this message of meaning? And especially when we're thinking of how can we get to our dreams, which is fun to think about in the new year. So you mentioned that willingness is one of the first essential steps. How can someone become ready to release resentment or just be ready to have this feel like freedom in everyday life.
Yeah, I love that you say we talk a lot, you talk a lot to artists, because for artists, this may sound to us so simple, right? Because at least for me, part of my craft in order to be able to do what I do is I need to be attached to what I am feeling, right? I need to know what it is that I feel around a word, around a sentence, around a scene, right? I need to know what it is that I feel. And so I use that in my life and in my teaching when I coach people too, is to be attached to our feelings. Not that we're going to move and act on our feelings all the time, but to be aware, what am I feeling in this moment? Not 5 minutes ago, or even to be aware. It's like, is this feeling that I'm feeling now that I'm attributing to the now, is it really about yesterday, or is it a fear that's about tomorrow? What? So the more that we understand ourselves, this awareness helps to answer the question, is am I willing to let go of the cause of this feeling of discontent? This uneasiness,
Beautiful.
right? This feeling of fear, right? Because forgiveness is equated with fear. Unforgiveness is equated with fear. So am I willing to, am I ready to? And sometimes the answer is no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Okay. Understanding that the longer that we stay in this non-ready, not ready state, the longer we tether ourselves to things that we don't want to exist in our life anymore, too. And that's no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. You have to move when you are ready. But sometimes just having that knowledge base that just on the other side of forgiveness is the pathway to the life that you want. Right? So getting to that point, saying, you know what, where am I ready? Am I willing to let go of this feeling of unforgiveness? And there's so much to unpack there. We don't rush, you know, they say don't go gently into that good night. We don't rush into that. Some people move along that course much faster than others. Some takes longer, but hopefully we all get to the point where we say, yes, I'm willing. And that's the first step, is say, I am willing to let go of this. I'm willing to move past this. I'm willing to deal with this or to face this.
And it's an ongoing process. And I think sometimes it really is the first grounding step. And sometimes I think people might think that forgiveness means that you're giving the person a pass. Like it was perfectly fine that you mistreated me and abused me or did all these things to me, but that's not what it is. You're claiming that gift that you can let it go. It was something to do with that person and their weaknesses so that you can rise so much higher. And you talk about how the self-awareness it uncovers what is hurting inside so that
Yeah.
you can really see it non-judgmentally, that it isn't something that you did wrong, but just that it's okay to feel however you do feel.
It is. Oh my goodness. And that, whew, that's a big one right there. It's okay to feel what you feel, right? You feel
Yes.
it. Yeah, it's okay to feel it. There's no right or wrong way to feel about this. You feel it. It happened. Right. And that's, you know, that's in the very beginnings is to say, yes, this happened. It was unfair. I didn't deserve that. It made me feel this way. You know, we got to deal with that before we can deal with anything else. Right. Yes, this happened. I didn't deserve for this to happen to me. It was unfair. And I feel this way about it. And so that is you or me or any of our listeners, right? That is what I call parenting ourself or mothering ourself or loving on ourself. It's like, okay, yeah, you didn't deserve that, right?
And a
But
lot of
we
times it's
can't.
patterns that we ex you know kind of it keeps happening because we until we're able to have that awareness. And for me, I feel there's a spiritual aspect because sometimes there are things that are much bigger than us that we can't do with our own mind and our own willpower that we need some supernatural intervention that helps us to release it and have that freedom and make that path and the willingness to trust and to let go. Is for me, I think part of the process too.
Oh, yes. You said so much right there. I hope our audience got that. You said a lot in that sentence, is because sometimes it is bigger than us. And I want to try to stay on course so everybody can follow this conversation, but I want to just unpack that for a second. The more we remain in unforgiveness, it is like a ball of, say, a snowball at the top of the hill, rolling down the hill, gathering more snow and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? It attracts more things for us to have this need to forgive. So we are attracting more of that energy to us, the things that we don't want. So that's paramount that we understand that in the very beginning, that our life moves in the directions of our most dominant thoughts. And if our dominant thoughts and feelings are geared to unforgiveness, we will attract more things in our lives that we need to forgive. All right. That's more unwanted things. Another way to say that. And then you mentioned also is that sometimes there is a need for something bigger than us to help us to get through this. And I truly do believe that this life that we live is a team sport. Trying to do all of this on our own can feel overwhelming. And there are really people who can do that. They can do it all on their own. And for that, I applaud them. For the rest of us, it's going to take a team. The team that you pick must be trustworthy in good times and in bad times. And I often find people confide in people a little too soon before they know, because people are just people. And sometimes they end up re-traumatizing you because they're not all the way through their own thing. So, you know, I like working with people who are professionals, such as life coaches, spiritual leaders, things of that nature, that you can develop a professional relationship with, that you can really be free with. Because sometimes a family member or a friend, they're too close to a situation to really be objective and help you, to coach you through the forgiveness process. So that is very, very important. You mentioned earlier that sometimes people don't want to forgive. And you're absolutely right. One of the number one reasons is that to forgive, they feel, is to let the offender off the hook. It's almost like saying, I condone this or I deserve this. And it's absolutely the opposite of that. Nelson Mandela said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that your victimizer, your offender, will die. It's like, I want to keep chugging down and chuggling down this poison and looking to the left and right to see, are they dead yet? Not going to happen. Unforgiveness is poison that is killing your light, killing your opportunity, stunning your growth. So the first thing we have to say is that this is about me. Forgiveness is totally personal and selfish, and you deserve to put yourself first in these instances. Forgiveness is for you and for me, for the viewers, to say, I deserve better than this. I will not remain in the valley down here, wherever this is, that's keeping me up at night, that's stunning my growth, that's keeping me from pursuing my dreams, that making me feel less than, that's causing me to ruminate on things that I don't want to occur in my life. I deserve better than this. And the pathway to better starts with forgiveness.
Yeah, that's beautiful. How do you describe vulnerability, and how does it accelerate the forgiveness process?
Yeah, vulnerability. It's just, you know, I call it calling a spade, right? So we get into this place a lot of times where we're one of my favorite phrases that, you know, my own personal journey of forgiveness I talk about in the book, Forgiveness, the Pathway to Happiness, is I was married for almost 27 years, and the marriage ended in divorce, and it was quite a surprise to me. And one of the things I found myself saying in the very early stages, I can't believe this. I can't believe, I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, I can't believe this. And so I had to be vulnerable enough with myself to say, darling, this is happening, and it's happening to you. So we've got to move on. We got to move beyond. I can't believe this, because on the other side of this is greatness. But you've got to be in this mode of accepting, be vulnerable enough to say that, yep, this is painful. I wasn't preparing for this. I was not preparing for this. I was, you know, the cliche of a woman who was just like head in the sand, you know, I was not prepared for this, but this is happening. And it takes so much vulnerability to admit to yourself, because that's really who it matters most to, is to admit to yourself that something about my judgment maybe was a little bit off. Of why wasn't I paying attention? And give yourself and mother yourself or parent yourself through that and say, yes, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to cry. It's okay to wonder, what were you focusing on when you should have been focusing on this? And then to say, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you. Things happen. So that vulnerability is important. Being tender with ourselves during the forgiveness process, male or female, is so important. We don't need another person using you as a punching bag. And, you know, so you don't want to be in there telling yourself, you know, oh, you know, man up, don't cry, don't do all the things that you need to do to parent yourself to a soft place, to a landing place that lands on, I must forgive so that I can move on.
Yes. And it goes in stages, like stages of grief, I believe.
Yeah. And it's not one and done either. I wish it were. I wish we could just make the decision that I forgive it once and for all, but it comes back. But each time that you have to go through the process, the process is shortened and you're more resilient and you get to see other
You're
perspectives, right?
stronger.
Yeah. So, when I use myself and I use myself as an example in the book a lot too, and some of my clients by different names I give them. But, one of the things that as I went on through the process, I could see, I was no longer totally innocent, right? As you start looking from different perspectives, like, ah,
You're not a
okay,
victim.
right. There I am in that, right? And not there I am like, oh, I caused it. No, just there I am in that. And the humanness of the thing, it's still painful. But the humanness of the thing, and you get to see it from different perspectives, and it almost moves it beyond you. So it's not on that tender spot as much as it used to be, right? It's not right in that pain center. It's a bit beyond you, and you can look at it more objectively.
What do you feel prevents people from reaching acceptance after being hurt?
Oh, so many things, but I think it's the need to protect themselves. Right. And it's interesting how the ego gets us to believe that the way to protect ourselves is to close off to forgiveness, right? It's because we're trying and we're hurting in ways that we never thought we'd hurt before. We've been disappointed by people or situations that we were trusting in. And now there is this need to protect ourselves. And it's almost like, when you're raising kids and it's time to take a nap and they're fighting the nap, the very thing that will make them feel better is the thing that they won't do. It's to lie down and take the nap. And that's where we are. We get to this place where the very thing that would help us feel better and to move forward in our life is forgiveness. But we just can't take that medicine because we don't see it as being the thing that we need. What we instead think is, I need to internalize this. I need to isolate. I need to ruminate. And those are the things that cause the pain to become more and more intense. But the ego and its inability to understand, but in its desire to protect us, says, if you do these things, if you isolate, if you ruminate and keep thinking and going over this problem, you will figure it out. And that will lead to you being soothed, and it's quite the opposite. It will keep you trapped forever. So really having that adult conversation with ourselves, even when we're in pain, saying, I know this hurts, but this is the next necessary step in being gentle and kind as we move towards the next step, which is the step on forgiveness, to pathway to forgiveness.
So, how can someone move through resistance with compassion and clarity?
Well, first thing is to, like I said, to be willing. That's the number one thing, say, I'm willing to do it. The second thing is to be aware of what it is that you are forgiving. None of this, I can't believe, write it down, become aware. I'm a person who I love to write it down so that I can see, like, this is what happened. But if you're not a person who writes it down, maybe you're just going to say it out loud. This is what I'm forgiving. And why? What's your why? Why am I? Because I want to feel better. Because I want to get on the other side of this. This is about me. So just those things in acceptance. I tell people always say to me, I can't forgive. I can't forgive. I said, could you get to a point? And I have a client that I'm working with now who's just reached this point within the last month or so. Could you get to the point where you could say, I want for that individual what the universe wants for them?
That's beautiful.
Right? I don't know what the universe wants for you. Right? But I definitely do want for you what the universe wants for you.
Very
Not what
highly
I want
suggest.
for you, not what I believe you deserve. And getting to that point and just having a desire. And in the book, I go through different steps that you can do to get there. But just being able to get there and get to a point where you can get to a place where you're not, I hate to say
Triggered.
it, but we all do it, fantasizing, the harm or whatever will come to that person. You'll see one day you'll get past that, and it's all stages. It's all stages. We move one stage at a time, but the first step for sure is to be willing and to be aware, right?
You often
And
speak
then
about shifting from anger to curiosity to find peace.
Oh,
Could
that's a
you
big
share a
one.
moment from your own life when curiosity helped you heal?
Yeah. And I'll go back to the divorce is one of the biggest things for me. I haven't been married almost 27 years. And going from, first from, unacceptance, I can't believe it. And then just to the anger, how dare you? And then going to just curious, like, what would make a person give up on somebody who loved them so much? What would make a person treat their family this way, their wife and kids this way, and just start at generally becoming curious, not in a sarcastic way, like, oh, what an idiot, not that way, but just becoming curious, like, why would a person do that? And then imagining the compassion that, oh, wow, how a person has to feel about themselves to do this, right? It doesn't make me feel bad about myself, but it eased the, dare I say, animosity towards the individual. It eased that because I said, no, this is a person that doesn't feel good about themselves. And if you don't feel good about yourself, it's going to really be difficult for you to do good by other people because self-love is the most important earthly love that you can have. From there stems all your other relationships, right? That pushes first, forth. And then I said to myself, it's amazing you kept it going this long, right? So then on a whole nother trajectory because I'm curious as to how you got here to treat your family this way. And then I find compassion.
Beautiful. You teach that identity shapes destiny and future possibility, which is so important, especially as we look into the new year. So, how does someone shift into the identity they want to embody?
Oh, that's so good. We talk about that with stress too. It's, knowing who it is you want to become is more important than knowing what it is that you want to do. Who is the who that you want to become? I call it my signature self. And who is she? Right. And once I have an idea of who my signature self is, all of the other things that I want to do will fall into place. Just understanding that. And that's another tool for curiosity too. When you decide who are you? Who are you? And in the knowing of who you are, well, how does that who behave when this happens? And you sit back and you watch and you become, we're talking a lot to artists, you say, so we understand this. You look beyond yourself and you start watching yourself almost on a screen and say, oh, so when she feels like that, this is who she is. That becomes interesting. Almost becomes like a case study of you, right? And we're always evolving and watching and say, okay, well, next time when I get in this situation, trust me, there will be a next time, right? Next time when I get in this situation, I'll practice slowing down and listening, right?
And
Before
observing.
I go to my automatic response. I've been responding one way for so many years and decades, right? But now as I'm becoming aware of who it is I want to become, the identity that I want to have, because we can change identities at any point in time. We can decide this is who I am today. And in the arts, we know that, right? You have this role, you go from this role, you play the villain, you play you play the hero, you go back and forth, you play this note and this song, you play that. So we understand being able to shift. But in our own life, sometimes we find that we're stuck and we're never stuck. We're just not paying attention. We're not paying attention. We're not seeing ourselves as creative. And the being that we're in is the most creative instrument that we'll ever have, playing day-to-day roles as mother or father, wife, coworker, what have you.
That's
So that
beautiful.
identity, understanding the who of who you are in every situation and watching it, slowing down and becoming the watcher of the who.
Curious, as you say.
Yeah.
So, what small habits can reinforce a new sense of self over time?
Oh, slowing down, number one. I may have said it like three times, but slow down. Slow down, right? I worked in healthcare for 37 years. This is my 37th year as a pharmacist, and I work in hospitals. And number one things I tell people is everything is an emergency, right? But in order to do everything well, you're going to have to slow down and you're going to have to think. Every case can't, it's not like the last case. So slowing down is the number one thing. Don't, if you take those 2 to 3 minutes of completely uncomfortable silence. That your brain is completely frozen where it can't even remember what the last person says. Okay, and then start over, right? Slowing down. That when is a habit that we should develop, right? Asking questions of ourselves, right? Paying attention to our self-talk, really paying attention.
Yes, because as you as we talk about, the words have so much power. I'm
Yeah.
remembering some book called The Tyranny of the Urgency. Sometimes what we feel we have to rush to do, and we're so frantic, and it's not the thing that's the most important. So really, as you talk about in your coaching, you highlight this power of systems and consistency. So what are there more ha what habits can you share that support long-term transformation and inner peace and this growth that we're looking for?
My number one that I share that I do every day of my life, and I encourage every client when they start working with me, I don't care what we're working on, we start here, which is what I call active gratitude, because it shifts the energy around us. It shifts our focus as well. And remember, I start off by saying our life flows in the direction of our most dominant thought. And most of the time, our most dominant thoughts are about lack, worry, and fear, right? So we start our day, and if you work night shift, your day starts at night. Whenever you get up for your period of time of the day, I start off with what I call an active gratitude card. And it's very, very simple practice. And I encourage everybody to do it. I do mine on index cards. You can write on anything that you want. But on one side of the card, I write just three things that happened the day before that I am grateful for. Just three that happened the day before in the past. Right. And then I flip the card over and I write three things that have not yet happened, but will happen today that I am grateful for. Right. And it's important to me that I do it just that way, because the mind finds its most of its time dwelling in the past or the future. It has a very difficult time. The egoic mind has a very difficult time remaining in the present. And there's a reasons for that. But so the past makes us fearful and the future makes us anxious, right? And so we're between the state of fear and anxiety all day long. How exhausting is that? So when I have this, the gratitude practice takes care of three things at one time. It focuses your mind on something positive, because your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thought, and that most dominant thought's going to be positive. Because I know you're going to have a tendency, and I'm going to have a tendency to dwell on the past. I already have told my mind where it can go, how far in the past you can go. You can only go to yesterday, and these are the things that you have that you can focus on from yesterday. And when I start to get anxious about the future, I say, I already given you direction. Here's how far you can go into the future, and this is all you can focus on about the future. And I believe it or not, I take that card with me everywhere. I hang it when I get to my office. I hang it on the side of my computer because I know it's going to happen. So that is a tiny practice that I encourage everyone to do. It takes less than 5 minutes. I do it before my feet hit the floor in the morning. And I always like to share this little story, because there were points in my life, I call it my trifecta of pain. I had got diagnosed with a health condition. My marriage was falling apart, and I lost my job all within a short period of time. And I woke up one morning getting ready to do this practice, right? Because I've been doing it for years. And tears just came in my eyes, and I couldn't think of anything that I was grateful for that had happened the day before. That's where I start, right? I said, well, and then I thought, oh my gosh, yesterday I was able to blink all day long without assistance. And I got extremely excited. And that's why I call it active gratitude, because part of the emotion has to be there too. You've got to get yourself excited as you're writing it, because there are people who have dry eye syndrome who cannot blink without assistance, or they need medications and stuff. And so I find it so funny. I laugh myself all the way to the shower right now, this little card. It sounds small, like it's too easy to be useful. Some of the most useful things in life are the most simple things, and we're tripping over ourselves looking for the complex.
Yes. So to go a little further into the concept about how words spoken and unspoken shape our lives, and you often speak about the power of language, how it shapes our experience. It's so well known that the words really capture us and direct us and kind of create, and we can see what we're thinking by looking at our lives and what's in front of us, and how words can influence our emotional state. So, what are some steps for turning stress into calm using self-talk?
First of all, become aware of what you're saying to yourself. And then key point, I want you to pretend like you are in middle school. I don't know if you remember the middle school years, but they were pretty rough for most of us. Right? So pretend like you're in middle school, like you are the middle schooler and you're also the parent at the same time. When ever anything happens to you, whether you get caught up in traffic, cursed out by a coworker, or fired from your job, your response is the same thing. Honey, I'm so sorry that happened to you. You didn't deserve it. I don't care whether you deserved it or not. You're in middle school. You need to hear that, right? You need to know that somebody's on your side. They believe you no matter what. You soothe yourself through your words to being the first person to support you no matter what. Now, there is criticism out there. Your mind says, well, sometimes I'm just wrong. I'm just that. That's okay. We'll get to that. But you won't show me who you really are until you trust me. You won't see who you really are and where you need change until you trust you. The real you will keep hiding in that dark space because I'll say, oh, even you will reject me. I'll never reject you. I'm talking about myself. You should talk to yourself that way. Is that you will never reject the self. I'll never reject you. I'll be here. I've been here. I'm not going anywhere. I love you. We can fix this. So that is that loving, affirming, a consistency with self is the first thing when there's stress. Secondly, is don't scare yourself up. Realize your ignorance and your inability to see around corners and through walls and leap tall buildings, right? You can't do that. So no one, not even myself, no one knows what this means. Whatever the this is, I always use myself. I got married over, 27 years ago. That was the happiest day of my life. Who would have known, right? That that would be the day I was like, oh my gosh, looking 27 years out, he couldn't see that. Losing that job, that relationship fumbling. You think it's the worst thing? It may be. It is what the best thing. Tell yourself that story. Even tell the story that I don't know what this means, but I'm willing to be courageous. I'm scared. Admit that. You see, you have to constantly be in a place of coaching yourself, right? Relaxing yourself. We live in a society that encourages us to live in, to scare ourselves all day long. We wake up to an alarm clock or to the news that says, oh, there's a backup on 83. This, the stock market's doing this. To be in fear all the time. So we have to be the person that says, oh my gosh, I really don't like what this looks like, but I bet you there's another way to look at it. What if this is going to lead to something that's going to open up doors and help me meet people that I would have never and get into rooms I would have never gotten into before? So these things, these small practices will indeed help you to look at stress differently, right? And understand that stress is really telling you that. Here, I need to stop and pay attention. It does not want you to forge forward. It wants you to stop and realign yourself before you move forward. So stress is like alarm clock saying, "Hey, can I get your attention for a moment? Something's happening inside of us. I need you to check in with me. I need you to do some breathing techniques. I need you to do a body scan." That's what stress is trying to tell us. But oftentimes we overlook it until we crash and burn.
It's so helpful, especially this time of year when we can have a lot of stress because we want so many things. I mean, we want them perfect and we have all these expectations, but actually it's just pausing and sinking into the moment and all the gifts that we have. And the most important gifts aren't the ones that we buy or the ones from within, the ones that we share. So many great reminders. And I know so many listeners are really moved by you today. And how can they reach out to you and find you and your teachings and connect with Everyday Peace and your offerings and your speaking?
Oh.
How can they find you and be part of your community?
So my website is just my name, drdravonjames.com. I have a podcast called Dr. Drayvon James and Everyday Peace on Mind, Body, Spirit FM. And I am on Sirius XM. I almost want to say 185. I think it's 185. I always forget when I get it. But it's the Road Dog Trucking Show at the first Monday of every month. And then, of course, on social media, I try to keep up with everything that I'm doing on social media and my web page. So social media is just my name on all the social media outlets.
Wow, you're so amazing. So many blessings you've given us
Well, thank
today,
you.
and it's such a beautiful time to pause and to have so much hope looking forward and tools.
Yeah.
So allow forgiveness to be the miracle that clears your path forward. Release one weight from the past year and welcome new intention. Let your identity expand into who you're becoming now. Step into the new year unburdened, open-hearted, and ready to rise. As you step into this new year, may the miracle of forgiveness lift the weight from your heart and open a path where you can rise into this new level of light and purpose and the courage to begin again and again with each new day. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm just filled with so much gratitude, and it was really fun too. So blessings and love and light.
Thank you. Same to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year and happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay aligned, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.